Well, I hate to always start a sermon or a moment in liturgy by talking about myself, but if we haven't met, hi, my name is Revlo Cook, and I'm one of the associate rectors here. If we just haven't met, or this is your first time and not your normal place, thank you for being here tonight. Our healing service is a little bit different because usually, like tonight, there's a topic, and then we have some dedicated time for prayer. And what that means for me as the preacher is that I'm going to be really honest about my own story, maybe in a different way than I normally am. And so tonight we're talking about spiritual warfare. We've heard it in each of the readings we've done tonight. This conversation we just read in John about a thief coming to steal and kill and destroy. When we think about spiritual warfare, at least for me, usually it comes with like a caricature of the enemy, right? And if you grew up in any kind of evangelical background, you know what I'm about to talk about. Something that I was much older when I learned about, but called a hell house. And it's this idea of how we picture the enemy, how we picture Satan and temptation. And this used to be a thing. If you're like, I've never heard of this, that's good. We're doing something right. But if you're like, yeah, I grew up in a tradition that definitely did these. And the idea was to help us understand the significance of the enemy and how he's pervasive. Most often, if you were a middle school student, it mostly just scared you near to death. And as adults, we can look back on that and go, well, yeah, it's scary. But it's really easy in something like that to create this caricature of what the enemy looks like, what he's doing. And usually in stories, art, music. He's red and has horns and usually doing something pretty obvious that signals, hey, don't go in there, that's a bad idea. The reality is a lot different. It's a lot trickier. And if you're in here tonight, you can probably attest to that in your own life. Because the truth is that spiritual warfare is dark and heavy. And it usually runs pretty deep. And it looks really different than what the movies or the cinema or the movie, the art would depict. Paul said it best, I think, in 2 Corinthians. He said, indeed, we live as human beings, but we don't wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power. Divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. It's a really nice, succinct summary. But what do you do when you're in the middle of it? As kids, we talk a lot about the armor of God and putting that on, and that is fantastic. If you don't know what I'm talking about, find me after. We can talk about that passage in Ephesians. It's wonderful. But what happens when you're sitting in your life and it's just utterly fallen apart? And just because I'm standing up here does not at all mean I'm immune to that reality. This came up in our prayer session before, and I'll admit, not what I thought I was going to be sharing tonight. But I think the Holy Spirit has something to do with that. If you've been around here at all and we've chatted, you know that I spent my years preparing for ministry at school in Toronto. Canada took a very different approach to the pandemic. And if that puts you on edge, I promise we're not going to get into a pandemic debate or discussion right now. Amen to that. But what I will say is my experience living it out. It's just me up there. I have moved my entire life to Canada. I had a semester and a half before the world shut down. Let me flesh out what that looked like for you for just a second. I could not physically get a flight. It didn't exist. The airport was closed. And so with that information and the reality of healthcare, I had it up there, I decided to stay. We all, my whole family, all my friends, all the Americans I was trapped with, kept looking at the situation going, okay, well, we'll check it in a few months. For the rest of 2020, we did that. And then here came 2021. But this is the part of the story. Clearly the story keeps going. I eventually made it out. But the part of the story I need us to hear me talk about is the very beginning of 2021. Toronto entered a lockdown, which meant the only thing open in the entire city was the grocery store and the pharmacy. What that meant for the community in which I lived was a level of shutdown that is, quite frankly, unprecedented. I lived in a dorm room, and I spent 4 months by myself. All my classes were on Zoom. I would go to the cafeteria and pick up a box of food and come back to my dorm room and eat my food. That was it. That was the interaction I had with humanity at that point. My family was all back in Florida, and it got to the point that every single time I FaceTimed my mom, I would see her face pop up on my phone and I would burst into tears. And please, when I say 4 months, I don't mean the lockdown ended. That is not, in fact, what happened. It got to a place where I thought, I am not well. I'm not well. It is me and the demons of my mind left in this dorm room for 4 months. And I am a big believer in therapy and had a great therapist who said, I did some digging. The rules they have imposed upon y'all. She's Canadian. She didn't say y'all. But the rules that had been imposed were not government rules. They were stricter than that. And as much as she could, through a Zoom camera, looked me in my eyes and said, break them. Because that was the first session I looked at her through a Zoom screen and said, I don't think I'm okay. I'll admit to you that during this entire season, spiritual warfare didn't cross my mind. It was the pandemic's fault. It was the school's fault. It was how Toronto was handling it. I had a list of people who were at fault for this, but it wasn't spiritual warfare. That wasn't what I called it. And yet, in the midst of that, I have a distinct memory of telling God in a very dramatic fashion that I was done. That if he didn't recall, I didn't ask for any of this, and I didn't want it anymore. And I sat down on the floor of my room, and I wept. In fact, I wept so hard that I had to get off the phone with my mom because I was actively causing her distress. That was how hard I cried. This was a really great realization for me, except I still couldn't get a flight out, so quitting was the plan, but it didn't really work out right away. And in the time it took me to calm myself down and pull it together, I went to check my mail. At this point in the pandemic, mail was really hit or miss. Sometimes someone sent you a card and it showed up 4 months later. Sometimes I sent you a card and you got it in a week. There was no rhyme or reason. And I went to my mailbox, and this is the part that's probably going to make me cry. That's your warning. I went to my mailbox and I had a postcard from a faithful, faithful parishioner at the church I grew up at, who religiously mailed me a postcard with my prayers for me once a month at minimum. And I had just sat on the floor of that room and cried out a list of complaints to God, and I got this postcard. And it was a list of things that they were praying for me for. And it was all scripture. And when I tell you, that list hit every single one of those complaints that I had just railed at God from the floor. Every single one. If I was anyone else, I would end this with a really flowery way, but I will just tell you what happened, which is I cried again and called my mom to tell her in a weeping voice that Jesus told me I couldn't quit. Because he did. And so here's what I need us to hear tonight. In the midst of spiritual warfare, because that's what that was. It wasn't just the circumstances. There is an enemy. We read it tonight. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus ends the passage in John tonight by saying, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not because in that story of mine, it ended. The plot twist is we had about 6 more months of a lockdown. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus shows up, he brings light. He does not leave us in a dark space. Because the battle is already won. Make no mistake, it is a battle. But it's already won. The name of Jesus holds power. The scriptures hold power. Christ is alive, and he's not leaving us. No matter what. Amen.